Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. On this glorious Sunday after Easter, we're going to be doing a new hymn of preparation. So if you'll please look on the inside of your bulletin, and you can see the new words. Joyce assures me that you're going to recognize the tune. So if you will look, let us begin our service of worship, preparing our hearts for worship with our hymn of preparation. Congratulations. I'm impressed. You did really well. There's several announcements I would like to call to your attention. If you will turn to the back page in your bulletin, the first one I want to emphasize is the third Sunday of Easter, the 22nd. If you recall the material that you read prior to our celebration of Easter, that we're going to be doing things a little bit differently. We will be talking about the 50 days after Easter, and the 22nd is Meal Sunday. So we're going to be having a covered dish meal after church, and we're also going to be celebrating communion on these Sundays. So if you will notice that, be sure and remember we would like to have everybody present. I also want to call to your attention that the early worship service will be beginning at 8:30. So you need to make that note on your calendar at 8:30. And on the back of the bulletin, you will see the calendar for the week. I could take up quite a long time going over all of these meetings. Please check your calendar. We have several important ones in the next few days and weeks. One that's really important, I've had several of the men come to tell me to please be sure and announce the program on Tuesday evening. It was mentioned last Sunday, Dr. Mims Mobley, who has actually written a play about Harry Truman, and he personifies Harry Truman and does a marvelous job. He is going to be here for the men's program on Tuesday night. And because it's such an outstanding program, the men are graciously going to allow us women to join them. The only thing is you have to have reservations because they want to make certain that they have enough food for everybody. So if you want to come, please call the church office and let them know that you're going to come. Dr. Mobley is excellent. I worked backstage with him on the play, and you will thoroughly enjoy his presentation. It is outstanding. So do make a note to attend that, if at all possible. And I hope you got the announcement sheet that is in each of the Sunday school rooms each Sunday, and it emphasizes different things like vacation church school, and it gives a list of the confirmation class. And I put something in each one of the confirmands' boxes this morning, and they're empty. Please write a note to our confirmands. Please encourage them. Please identify yourself. Remember, they will be joining our church family, and you need to make a note. Notice in the announcement sheet who they are. There's 6 young people, 2 young women, and 4 young men, and we want to encourage them. So go look in their confirmation boxes and put a little note or a bookmark or something of that sort to let them know that you care and that you're glad they're joining Main Street. Now, let us continue our worship with the chiming of the Trinity and continue to prepare our hearts as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. The risen Christ says, "Peace be with you."
We are filled with joy because He lives. Hallelujah.
The risen Christ says, "Reach out, touch, and believe."
Join with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as found in your bulletin. Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant that we who celebrate our Lord's resurrection by the renewing of your Spirit arise from the death of sin to the life of righteousness through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading this morning comes to us from the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, verses 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what they sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. Our second reading comes to us from the book of John, the first chapter, beginning with the first verse and continuing through the second verse of the second chapter. We declare to you what was from the beginning, and what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you that what we have seen and heard, we may also have fellowship with one another. For truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these words so that our joy may be complete. This is the message which we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ so cleanses us from all sin that we can say we have no sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have, who are faithful and just, that Jesus, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And our gospel lesson today is from the gospel according to John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Please stand for the reading of the gospel as you are able. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met there were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. Then if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them, and he said to Thomas, "Peace be with you. Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet come to believe. Now Jesus did many signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This is the good news, which we have received, in which we stand, and by which we are saved. Christ died for our sins, was buried, was raised on the third day, and appeared first to the women, and then to Peter and the 12, and then to many faithful witnesses. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the Anointed One of God, the firstborn of all creation, the firstborn of the dead, in whom all things hold together, in whom the fullness of God was pleased to dwell by the power of the Spirit. Be seated. We'd like to go to prayer at this time, remembering the various needs that we have within our church family and praying for those that we name within our hearts and our minds. I thank you for your prayers for me while I was in the hospital. It was not a happy time for a preacher to be in the hospital. Never is a happy time, but Easter? But that's I never would have thought that. Do appreciate the cards and letters and fruit baskets and soups and things that were brought. And may the Lord bless all of us together and help all others who are sick to recoup as well. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Dear Lord, on this day, as we continue the journey of embracing the resurrection, and thank you again for this Easter Sunday, this day of coming together and remembering those whose lives have been transformed by the experience with the risen Christ. And we pray, dear God, that all of us would experience this renewal within us. And we pray, dear God, for ourselves, for our church, and for those who are sick in their bodies, those who are recovering at home, those in the process of preparing for surgeries, and those who are in grief, for whatever the needs are, we pray, Holy Father, that you indeed would minister to them. Minister to them through the precious Holy Spirit or through one of your saints, who reaches out in a loving and caring way and shares the faith that was once delivered to the saints, been made manifest in ways that are as individual as they are individuals here present. Bless your church, Almighty God. Lead us in the ways that we should have us to go. Stir within us afresh the burning zeal of evangelism and outreach and of hope. Again, we pray for those who are away from home, serving in some foreign battlefield, or serving on the mission field where you have sent them. Be with them, dear God, and renew them and encourage them as they respond to the tasks that have been given to them. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come?
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message. We invite all children to come to the front, please.
Good morning. Are there others?
Good morning.
It's good to see everybody. This morning, we are going to talk about things that we can see with our own two eyes. But things that we can't figure out for the life of us, how or why we can see them. For example, we can all look up in the sky and we can see a really big jet flying. And for the life of me, I cannot figure how that multi-ton object can start on the ground, end up in the air, and stay there. We also talked several Sundays ago, I think it was my last children's sermon that I did, about the bumblebee. Do you remember the bumblebee's large body mass and its tiny wings make it seem scientifically impossible to fly? And yet, if you go outside or in your yard today, I'll bet you you're going to see a bumblebee flying around a beautiful spring flower. How does it do that? I've got another example. It drinks from the flower. I know, but have you thought about how does it stay up there with such a heavy body and little wings? It must really be flapping those wings really fast. I don't know. But it's just something that I really think about, and I can't quite figure it out. But I brought a picture of a butterfly. And we've all seen butterflies. Now, I want to tell you that this is not a butterfly that someone painted. This is an actual picture of a butterfly. So it's found in nature. Now, this one really amazes me. I want you to just observe the picture. And I want you to ask you what you see that is really remarkable about this butterfly. Look really carefully. Can you see that far away? Y'all can scooch up a little bit if you want. Look at this picture and tell me what is really incredible about it. Well, the colors on the wings are indeed pretty remarkable. I agree with you. The size, and that might have something to do with the way I blew it up, but that is also, I've seen some really big ones, and they are truly remarkable. There's something else. Okay, let me give you a hint. How many of you have a math class in school? Okay. How many of you have studied the concept of symmetry in math? Okay. Symmetry means that if we folded this butterfly in half, exactly, so that what is on the left side is exactly identical to what's on the right side. And remember, I said in the beginning, this is not a paint-by-number butterfly that, you know, some of us painted. This is an actual photograph. Do you see any, and I mean look carefully because I have analyzed this thing over and over, do you see anything different about the left side from the right side? Or do they look pretty remarkably the same on both sides? They are. But this is nature. This is what you find in God's world. This is not a painting. That's pretty remarkable. How does it do that? I can see all of these examples with my own two eyes. But let me show you one more example. How many of you believe that I can take these two paper clips and join them together without using my hands? How many of you are believers that I can do that? Raise your hand. Okay. 2, 3, 4 believers. Great. How many of you doubt that I can join these two paper clips without using my hands? Come on, be honest. Okay, these are our doubting Thomases today. All right, would it make it easier if I actually showed you and you could see it with your own eyes? Would that make you believe it? Yeah, okay. So I'm going to ask Jessica if she will hold this. All right, we got two. You can do this at home. It is really cool. There you go. Don't give it away. Don't give it away. All right, it is not magic. You know, it's just a simple trick, and I bet if you really broke it apart and studied it, you know, it's scientific, and there's all these different variables like pressure and distance and all this kind of stuff, but it looks a lot like magic to me. So, watch. We take a dollar bill, and we fold it into thirds, kind of like an S or a Z, kind of like that. Okay, you're going to take one paper clip, and you're going to clip the middle part of the dollar bill to the bottom. And then you're going to take the second paper clip and you are going to clip the top to the middle. And then you are going to watch out, something's going to happen, okay? So you might want to sit back. You know what's going to happen. We're going to very gently pull the two pieces together and we're going to see what happens. Can you pick that up for me? Can you tell me what you see with your eyes? Hold it up for everybody to see. It's together. It is together. Now, you can see that with your own two eyes, can't you? But did I ever touch the paper clips with my hands? Once I had them on the dollar bill, did I? No, I did not. Have you ever heard the expression, seeing is believing? Well, seeing is believing. You know, the Bible tells us, and you heard it in the scripture this morning, that on the very first Sunday after, you can have those, after Easter, after the Sunday that Jesus was crucified, Jesus' disciples were locked up together in a room. Do you know why they were locked up together? Do you know why they were locked up? Because they were afraid that the same thing that happened to Jesus, or something very similar, would happen to them. They were frightened. Suddenly, Jesus appeared to them in that locked room. He did. And it was hard for them to believe that it was really him. But guess what, guys? They could see it. They could see the wounds in his hands and the wounds in his side. They could see him with their own two eyes. Well, Thomas, one of the other disciples, was not with them this night. And the disciples were so excited that when they told Thomas about what they had seen, he didn't believe them. He said, wait a minute, in order for that to happen, I'm going to have to see it with my own two eyes, and I'm going to have to touch Jesus just to make sure because I don't believe it. Well, you guessed it. A week later, in that very same locked room, Thomas was with them this time. And Jesus appeared again. And he told Thomas to touch his wounds and to stop doubting and believe. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That would be all of us, wouldn't it? We haven't seen Jesus yet with our own two eyes, have we? But we can see him in everything around us. We can see him in that bumblebee. We can see him in that perfect butterfly. We can see all of you can see the great works that you are collecting that money for. You can see all of these are examples that you can see. So are we going to be doubters like Thomas? Are we going to believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to eternal life? Let's have a prayer. Would you repeat after me? Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins. Help us to see Jesus in everything around us. Until that wonderful day when we can see Jesus face to face. Amen.
may be seated. We are endeavoring to reclaim the Christian year, and today is a continuation of Easter. I think about how many folks were here last week, and I wonder, were they all just coming because they thought I was going to preach? And they thought maybe I was still sick and didn't show up this Sunday. So, but anyway, it's a continuation of the Easter story. And this is Thomas Sunday. And if you have seen all the heard the children's sermon and reading of Scripture, and Larry and I did a lot of discussion and in preparation for these series of times. And I hope that when you come and worship, that you will look for the theme of Easter and of resurrection and of the message that the Christian year proclaims. And during this series, we're going to be celebrating communion, and for you to come and to stand and not kneel during this time, because this is not a time of repentance, but a time of celebration. Story was told about a Texas rancher, cowboy type, who began to purchase some ranches. He wanted his ranch to be bigger, and so he purchased the Circle M, and then he purchased another spread, Rockin' K, and the Wounded Knee, Apache Ridge, Ball Mountain, Lazy S, and all these different ranches. And one gentleman came to him and he said, "Wow," said, "now I guess you have a lot of cattle." He said, "Yeah, but most of them die after being branded," because they were branding them with all the names of the different ranches that he had bought. When you think about Thomas, it's almost the same for him. Being branded, doubting Thomas. And yet, we don't know a whole lot about him, but what we do know does not seem to verify that he was a doubting Thomas at all. John chapter 11, we have Thomas when he is there with Jesus, and Jesus is journeying to be with Lazarus and his grieving family. And though the disciples knew what was happening in Jerusalem and how that there was so much anger and hostility and vile that was being directed toward Jesus, and Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem, and Thomas makes that statement, "Well, let us go and die with him." Later on in chapter 14, Jesus says, "You know the way." And Thomas says, "We don't know the way and where you're going." And Jesus makes that statement to him that we know so well: "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas was the catalyst of a lot of strong statements. I've shared with you before when I was talking with this lady from Syria who was a devout Christian and just loved to talk about her Lord and Savior, and she spoke in her broken English, and many times we would share and she would talk about the priest there and her family and how committed they were to Christ and to the mission. And one day I just asked Malachi, I said, "Malachi, who do you credit with bringing the gospel to Syria?" And she said, "Thomas." In reading for this sermon today, I discovered that Thomas was also credited with taking the gospel to India. And so here is this individual that we refer to as Doubting Thomas, and yet he is very obvious a part of phenomenal ministry. As I think about Easter and last Sunday and the joy and the celebration of the resurrection, and then this week as it progresses, and here are these disciples of the risen Savior locked in this room full of fear. I wonder what their conversation was about. And I think of the various evangelical programs that we have been a part of in the Methodist Church since I have been in the ministry. And you know, I doubt that the disciples were talking about, well, one of us will go to this part of the country and the other one will share in this, and we'll challenge the whole world that is known to us today. We'll reach out with this gospel. Rather, fear had gripped them. Sometimes animals, as they search for their prey, if they can strike fear into the prey, many times the prey will just be paralyzed while the lion just comes up and grabs them. In reality, if they weren't so afraid, they could run away. I speculate that that's the disciples. They were paralyzed with fear. This resurrection that had taken place with their master hadn't reached them yet. I wonder how this message that Christ had risen, I wonder how they were responding to it there, closed into that room. And the Bible says that Thomas wasn't there. I wonder where Thomas was. I wonder what he was doing, knowing this little bit that we know about him. And then, of course, Christ appears to them and they tell Thomas. And there are many people in our world that speak of miraculous experiences where the saint or the Virgin Mary or someone else has appeared to them, and there are these stories that sustains their faith. But that's not the way for most of us. Most of us are believers because our parents or grandparents brought us to church. I remember a little old lady that played the piano in a church called Fingerville United Methodist Church when I was a pastor there. And she used to tell me about being brought to church as a little baby, riding in a buggy, being brought up a dusty dirt road. And for most of us, that's what we know. We know what has been told us, and we have embraced this faith. And maybe for some of us, there are those times when we too have our doubts. We too may struggle with our faith. This past week, I was talking to one of my minister friends. Those of us who are Methodists know this is the time of appointments. There are much celebration and weeping and gnashing of teeth during this time. But I listened as this young man began to talk about, well, I think maybe I might look at a different avenue of ministry. That I may get out of the appointive system. And I thought about myself, and it brought back such vivid memories to me as I looked through the classified section as a young man saying, just what can you do with a master of divinity in society other than preach? There were those times of wondering. And yet, as I listened to this young man talk, a young man that I have grown to love and to care for, and have seen his ministry as it has blossomed. And I thought about my own journey. My journey of faith has taken me through doubts and victories. That has taken me through celebrations and defeats. And I think about these disciples. What is it that stirs faith within us? Oh, if we could see the nail prints in the hands and put our, that would be one thing. But it would only be for each one of us individually. There's no way that you could convince someone else of what you had experienced. But yet there's something here that is very evident that speaks to all of us. And it's the resurrection that took place with those disciples when they were freed from their fears and began to reach out to the world and to share this hope of the gospel, of which you and I today, as we sit here on this Easter Sunday, are the byproducts of their ministry. As we celebrate the life of John Wesley and what he meant to our world, and that day when he too found his faith renewed there at Aldersgate. As I look at the lives of individuals that have been changed by the gospel of Christ, therein is my renewed resurrection. I think the question that maybe we can ask ourselves as we worship here on this Sunday: does our doubt so overwhelm us that we think that the best years of the church are behind us? Are we willing to say that the best years of Main Street United Methodist Church have already dawned and now we're in the sunset? Or are we willing to allow Christ to work within us for a renewed resurrection and a renewed hope that stirs us out of our fears and stirs us out of our defeats and stirs us out of our apathy and causes us to reach out and to share this good news of the gospel with men and women and boys and girls who haven't heard that there is a resurrected Jesus Christ? Christ speaks to us, I think, today. He speaks to us, and he embraces us in the midst of our doubts. He embraces us with all of the fears, with all of those things that life brings to us. And he breathes upon us and fills us with his Spirit and calls us to reach out and to touch others in His name. There is resurrection. There is resurrection that continues for each one of us, not just once, but over and over and over again in our lives, in our Christian journey. Calling us, like Thomas, let us go and die with Him. Not only let us go and die with Him, but let us go and live with Him. And this morning, as we come to receive these communion elements, let us again embrace our doubts, our fears, and our faith as we celebrate this time together. If you will turn in your bulletin, brothers and sisters in Christ, the gospel tells us that on the first day of the week, the day on which our Lord rose from the dead, He appeared to some of His disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Come then to the joyful feast of our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to You, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, Your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are You, and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By Your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Your Son from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are Your people, declaring Your wonderful deeds in Christ, who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, He promised to be with us always in the power of Your Word and the Holy Spirit. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet, that in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of this wine, we may know the presence of the living Christ and be renewed as a body of Christ for the world, redeemed by Christ's blood. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On the night in which our Lord was crucified, he took bread.
remind you to share the peace of God with those around you as we prepare to leave. Go out in the power of the risen Christ. Hallelujah.